Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. Our Earth gives evidence that a magnetic dance has happened in the past, repeatedly, noting that hardened lava indicating north and south were in different places, pointing in different directions in the past. Human scientists presume a polar reversal, a situation where the Earth's magnetic field would suddenly reverse for unknown reasons. And I quote from MSNBC, dated December 12, 2003, Earth's magnetic field weakening. The strength of the Earth's magnetic field has decreased 10% over the past 150 years, raising the remote possibility that it may collapse and later reverse, flipping the planet's poles for the first time in nearly a million years. At that rate of decline, the field could vanish altogether in 1,500 or 2,000 years. End of the quote. However, per the Zetas, they misunderstand, discounting the influence of Planet X in their theories. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Pole Reversals, written July 1995. Do the Earth's poles ever suffer a reversal during a pole shift? No. The Earth's polarity, where the magnetic North Pole points consistently in one direction, as though focused on a distant point in the universe, does not change, ever. This is an illusion, a hypothesis, that humans have concocted to explain what they find in the Earth's crust. In this hypothesis, they are assuming that the Earth's crust does not move about, but it does. What humans are measuring is the confusion in the crust, and not the direction of the magnetic North Pole. Planets speak to the Earth from afar. Scientists who do not buy into the pole shift will argue endlessly that it is the poles that move and reverse, and any discussion with such scientists should begin by first clarifying the pole shift premise. Sometimes during a pole shift, the movement is slight, and sometimes literal reversals take place, where the crust does, as you say, a 180. Having only the Earth's crust to examine, and being in denial or unaware of the pole shifts, a human could only assume that the poles had moved, rather than the crust. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. What's termed wandering poles are actually places on the surface of Earth where a north or south pole existed in the past. The crust moved, putting the spot at north or south. Volcanoes spewing lava during these pole shift times, which are always cataclysmic, point in the direction the magnetic core of the Earth is pointing to. A dramatic example is Steens Mountain. And I quote from Science Frontiers, the March-April 1992 issue, The Steens Mountain Conundrum. The layered lava flows of Steens Mountain in southeastern Oregon have preserved video-like records of the Earth's magnetic field as it switched from one polarity to another about 15.5 million years ago. The scientific instruments here are the cooling lava flows. As they solidify from the outside in, a process taking about 2 weeks for a 2-meter-thick flow, the lava is magnetized in the direction of the field prevailing at the moment of solidification. We would thus have a 2-week continuous record of the behavior of the Earth's field. Ordinarily, we would not expect to see very much change in 2 weeks. Even a reversing field is thought to take thousands of years to complete its flip-flop. However, at Steens Mountain, when the field reversed 15.5 million years ago, the lava flows suggest that the field's axis was rotating 3 to 8 degrees per day, incredibly fast, according to current thinking. in fact, 1,000 times faster than expected. And another quote from their September-October 1995 issue. Almost inconceivable change in the geomagnetic field. During a field reversal, the Earth's field swung around at the astonishing rate of 3% per day. This rate is about 1,000 times the current rate of polar drift. Mainstream geophysicists could not believe the 3% per day figure because it implied incredibly rapid changes in the flow of those molten materials within the Earth that supposedly generate the geomagnetic field. The Steens Mountain data were tabled, that is, dismissed. The three researchers, though, continued their labors at Steens Mountain and have now offered additional, even more impressive data. They now find that the geomagnetic field probably shifted as much as 6% in a single day. Their work has been carried forward so professionally and meticulously that even scientists are finding their conclusions harder and harder to dismiss. Instead, the search is on for explanations of the rapid field change. End of the quote. Such changes in magnetic direction would indeed happen within a day if a pole shift had happened, ripping the crust from the magnetic core and moving it to a different location within an hour, a correct interpretation of the Steens Mountain data. But being scary, other interpretations, or simply denial, are preferred. Other evidence of crustal shifts in the Earth's surface are the ice ages, which in fact are simply spots on the surface which were perched at the north or south poles at the time. Wandering poles, where hardened lava points to the north or south pole, are also explained by the shifting crust explanations. And I quote from ZetaTalk, Wandering Poles, written February 2002. The prior shift moved the North Pole from Greenland to its present location. Prior to that, it was over the East Siberian Sea, having pulled Siberia northward, where the largest number of mammoth die-off occurred. Tracing the North Pole over the past few shifts, one sees that it spent a time over Scandinavia. Then it moved from Scandinavia to the Arctic north of Siberia, Europe warming up, its glaciers melting. Prior to Scandinavia, the North Pole centered over North America. End of the quote from ZetaTalk. The reason man struggles with what the evidence on the surface of the Earth presents to him is that the conclusion is frightening. Denial is so much more comfortable. And I quote from ZetaTalk, Past Cataclysms, written February 1996. The Earth bears witness to the cataclysms in her past and their periodic occurrence. Beyond her deep wound in the Pacific Basin, and beyond the drift of her continents, there are scars more palpable by man, mountain cliffs, which rise sheer in many cases thousands of feet, representing tearing of solid rock. These stand before mankind, who even make a hobby of scaling their heights, ignoring their deeper meaning. Have any experiments been done to determine how much force would be required to tear rock of this depth? None have. The reason lies in the equally deep desire of mankind to avoid thinking about the Earth's past cataclysms. Beneath the sea in the Bahamas lies evidence of civilizations that went under the waves, highways and highway markers, clearly man-made. These areas have been explored by many fortune hunters, recorded by camera, and published in full color repeatedly. Likewise, ancient Incan cities stand so high in altitude that the cities could not have been built, much less lived in. Yet the scientific community continues to claim that Earth changes happen gently, inch by inch, at the pace experienced during the memory of their current civilizations. Antarctica bears witness to her past in a steamy swamp, and likewise the North Seas, where oil is extracted. Likewise, the temperate regions are scarred by what is termed ice ages, where these regions were as snow and ice packed as the poles. A clue to these changes lies in the magnetism frozen in hardened lava, which demonstrates that magnetic north and south changed now and then. Has any adequate explanation been proffered by the scientific community? None has, as all the explanations have the Earth's crust remaining in place, as the thought that they are standing on a raft that can move on a sea of magma beneath them is too frightening to contemplate. End of the quote from ZetaTalk. So what can we expect during the magnetic dance between Earth and Planet X? For starters, think of these planets, Earth and Planet X, as magnets. Then think of what magnets do when placed close to each other. They either go end to end, north pole of one to the south pole of another, or they line up side by side, both with their north poles pointing in the same direction. This is what magnets do. And I quote from ZetaTalk what magnets do. An analysis of the solar system and how the planets line up, as magnets, with the sun, shows a variety of positions. Earth and Mercury, both with magnetic cores and in close proximity to the sun, align alongside of the sun, attempting to form one large magnet. Bar magnets, free to move, will snap together side by side to form one large magnet, but planets held apart from each other or by their sun by gravity repulsion force cannot actually touch. The large gaseous planets, Jupiter and Saturn, are in a reversed polarity, as they are simply a conduit for the flow of magnetic particles, not themselves magnets. And Neptune and Pluto align themselves with the magnetic flow lines from afar, as iron ore shavings will do when laid next to a magnet. All the planets are on the ecliptic, and none are approaching the sun to slide past the sun's south pole, as Planet X is doing. Thus, when sliding past either of the sun's poles as it passes the sun, there is likely to be a tilt in Planet X. How else does a magnet move from being an end-to-end magnet to becoming a side-by-side magnet, thence returning to an end-to-end posture? It tilts, temporarily. End of the quote from ZetaTalk. Not every planet is magnetic. Were Earth not a magnetic planet, Planet X could pass and there would be no pole shift, no wandering poles, no ice ages, no wrenching apart of the continents, no mountain building or climate changes. So what makes a planet a magnetic planet? And a quote from ZetaTalk, Planetary Magnetism, written February 1996. Planets act as magnets in accordance with their composition and liquidity. In this regard, the Earth is a magnet, as it has a high concentration of iron in both its core and crust, and its core is fluid. The strongest magnets are produced from softened or melted ore, as the atoms are free to line up end to end. The core of the Earth is perpetually in this state, and thus it acts like a huge magnet, as large as the globe itself. Magnetic influences between planets are greater than humans imagine, because they use as their frame of reference objects on the surface. The Earth's crust is magnetically diffused, representing many different pole alliances over the eons, as magma hardened after volcanic eruptions during pole shifts. The Earth's thick crust acts as a shield in this way, so that only sensitive needles on compasses, floating freely, jiggle into alignment with the Earth's core. A planet's magnetic influence is not encapsulated by its crust, but reaches beyond this, even to the ends of the solar system. The Earth's magnetism oozes around the various crustal plates acting as shields to recreate its essential alignment out in space, considering any confusion the crust may have presented as no more than an annoyance. A resonance is involved, so that the magnetic field can reestablish itself, filling in the blanks. Thus, when magnetic planets encounter each other, such as when Planet X passes near the Earth, the strength of their reaction to each other is much greater than man might imagine. Mankind's tiny magnets are but specks on the surface of thick crusts acting as shields. Below the surface, in the liquid core of the Earth, and in resonance high above the surface, is where the real magnetic drama occurs. End of the quote from ZetaTalk. Okay, planets that are magnets have iron in their core. So what makes iron induce the flow of magnetic particles such that a magnetic field develops? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Ferromagnetism, written April 1996. From childhood to adulthood, magnets have fascinated man. Young children are given sets of magnets to play with, linking them end to end. School children are shown with iron ore dust just how these invisible magnetic lines reach and curl, preparatory to a lecture about the Earth's magnetic field and on how to use the compass when lost in the woods. The use of magnets so permeates industrial human society that one would be hard-pressed to find an aspect not affected. Claspless doors are secured with magnets. Airplanes fly on automatic based on magnetic alignment. And recyclers separate out metal with magnets, to name but a few. Yet magnetism is not understood by man, though theories abound. It's clear that something flows, but just what is flowing is unknown. It's clear that direction is important, but just what is dictating this direction is unclear. It's clear that magnetism occurs naturally, especially in certain ores such as iron, but what it is that is special about iron ore is a puzzle. Magnetism is the palpable, measurable effect of a subatomic particle not yet delineated by man. In fact, there are several dozen subatomic particles involved out of the 387 involved in what humans assume to be simply the flow of electrons. Where electric current can be made to flow in any direction, the path of least resistance, magnetic flow seems to be very single-minded. In fact, it is also going in the path of least resistance, as can be seen when one understands the path and what constitutes resistance for magnetic flow. Unlike electricity, which only occasionally flows in nature, the flowing subatomic particles that constitute a magnetic field are constantly flowing. This is the natural state, to be in motion. The path of least resistance, therefore, is to go with the flow, and the flow is determined by the biggest bully in the vicinity. A single atom of iron, isolated, will establish the directional flow based on the highly orbiting electron particles, of which there are hundreds of subtypes. These tight orbits arrange themselves in a manner not unlike the planets around the sun, but the field, of course, is much more crowded. Given the fairly static number of these particles that will hang around an iron ore nucleus, the orbiting swirl may have a rhythm rather than a steady hum. Put three groups of three in a cycle of 10, and you have womp, 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 pause. Should the cycle, based on the nucleus and the electron subatomic particles it attracts due to its size and composition, be four groups of three in a cycle of 12, you would have womp, 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 womp. The steady hum of the second cycle does not lack a magnetic field. It's just diffuse. The irregular cycle in the first example finds the magnetic flow escaping during the pause. Being attracted again to the best partner in the vicinity, the single iron atom, the magnetic subatomic particle will circle around, taking the path of least resistance, which of course is on the other side of the atom, from the outward flow. Placing the second iron atom next to the first finds the two lining up, so the flow escaping during the pause of each goes in the same direction. This is a bit like forcing a second water flow into a flowing stream. Toss a stick into both forceful streams, and you will see that the water flows are moving in the same direction as much as possible. The path of least resistance. In this manner, the magnetic flow of the largest bully forces all else in the neighborhood to line up. Where the iron ore atoms are caught in an amalgam and not altogether free to shift their position within the amalgam, the magnetic flow may physically move the amalgam, this being, again, the path of least resistance. For those who would state that magnetism is not a thing, as it can't be weighed or measured or seen, we would point to the child's trick whereby two magnets are held positive end to positive end. Let go, and they move so that they are aligned positive end to negative end. What made these magnets move, if not a thing? End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Just as gravity is a dominant force affecting our planet Earth, magnetism, during the pole shift, dominates. As Planet X twists and turns during its passage past the sun, it tosses our Earth around like a rag doll, the lesser magnet. At first, when Planet X is not directly between the Earth and the sun, this is a secondary influence. The pole shift happening only when Planet X stands between the Earth and sun, negating the sun's influence temporarily. But prior to that point, the pole shift point, several steps in the magnetic dance occur. I will detail them one at a time. They are 1, daily tugging on the magnetized Atlantic rift. 2, an earth wobble caused by pushing and pulling on the north and south poles. 3, a lean to the left as the north pole of Planet X poses toward Earth. 4, 3 days of darkness and 6 days of sunrise west when this becomes extreme. 5, a grip on the Atlantic rift causing rotation stoppage. And 6, the pole shift itself. The reason for this complexity is the twisting and turning of Planet X itself as it rounds the sun. At first, coming into the inner solar system from outer space, it aligns with the sun's magnetic field, as do all the planets in the solar system in one manner or another. Earth and Mercury, for instance, align perfectly with the sun's magnetic field. But as Planet X gets close to the sun, coming in at a 32-degree angle from the south of the sun, it must nose its north pole into the sun's south pole. This was the case in 2003, when Planet X zoomed into the inner solar system. Its north pole not only pointed toward the sun's south pole, it was pointing toward Earth, too, as Earth was on the opposite side of the sun at the time. Thus, the charged tail, which hoses out from the north pole of Planet X, blew past the sun and toward Earth, causing outages galore in August and September of 2003. Remember New York City being black, with a million commuters walking home in the dark across the bridges? Planet X then had to align along the magnetic flow lines surrounding the sun, along its magnetic field. Going into the south pole of a magnet, these lines are tight, close to the sun, and not looping far out in space. As Planet X passed the south pole of the sun and moved on its trajectory toward the sun's middle, it temporarily assumed a neutral position, its north pole pointing toward the sun, the south pole toward Earth. These were the magnetic quiet times of 2004 and 2005. The trajectory of Planet X is at a 32-degree angle going from south to north, cutting across the ecliptic and passing over the Earth's head as it zooms on out. So at some point, it must adjust to the magnetic flow line surrounding the sun's magnetic field, on the top side. In this case, in that the top of the sun has its north pole, Planet X will try to point its south pole toward the sun, the complete reverse of what it had been doing as it passed the south pole of the sun. It does this in what the Zetas call a 270-degree roll, turning in place to turn its north pole from pointing toward the sun to pointing away from the sun, and thus toward Earth. This has started as of 2006, and ultimately results in the 3 days of darkness for the northern hemisphere. In the 6 steps in the magnetic dance, the first is a daily tug caused by the magnetized Atlantic rift. The Atlantic rift is a surface magnet caused in part by lava hardened when continental drift occurs. This happened during past pole shifts, when the Atlantic was ripped apart. The iron in this hardening lava polarizes in a general north-south direction as it hardens, making the Atlantic rift a type of magnet. But this recently magnetized hardened lava also attracts iron elements in the magma, which attach and also line up with the Earth's magnetic field, thus strengthening the Atlantic rift as a magnet even more. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Third Magnet, written June 2003. When Planet X is close enough to cause agitation and spilling over of the ionized particles, that normally group at the poles or around the highly magnetized core of the Earth, these particles flow along under the crust of the Earth until they find themselves captured at the Atlantic Rift. This creates a conflict within the Earth's magnetic field, as it now has yet another magnet to deal with. The distress a highly magnetized Atlantic Rift has on the surface magnet is to create an irregular outgoing at the North Pole, where the particles flowing through the core are going straight up and out, but the particles that float along the Atlantic Rift are emerging at an angle. Thus, the point where this angular outflow emergence occurs is agitated due to ionized particles under the crust surface in rapid motion. This is an indication that the Atlantic Rift has become magnetized, has gathered the ionized particles that escape from their normal domain near the poles or surrounding the core. End of the quote from Theta Talk. The tugging on the Atlantic Rift is graphically displayed by the USGS live seismographs, which show a global shuddering at certain times of day when the Atlantic Rift is either facing or in opposition to Planet X near the Sun. This global shuddering started in March of 2003 and has continued, an archive of these signatures available on the Theta Talk website in the Global Quakes section. Very dramatic at noon or midnight over Greenwich, a signature that has no other explanation but the presence of Planet X. A second step in the six steps of the magnetic dance is an Earth wobble caused by pushing and pulling on the north and south poles of Earth, causing an Earth wobble. In 2003, coming up from the south and pointing its north pole toward the Earth, Planet X was regularly grabbing the south pole of Earth. The Zetas called this, at the time, the South Pole Tug. And I quote from Zeta Talk, South Pole Tug, written June 2003. Magnets can line up side by side if enough distance is allowed between them for a field to develop, such that the particle flow can move out from the North Pole and around to the South Pole without impediment. Where this field cannot be established due to crowding, the flow will move in and out from the dominant magnet in the area, the lesser magnets trying to position themselves to facilitate this flow. Where the lesser magnets cannot position themselves to facilitate this, due to being held in place for some reason, the magnetic particle flow remains distressed. This distress primarily visited upon the lesser magnet. The Earth has many allegiances to continue rotation, continue to maintain its present tilt, and the core is still listening primarily to the Sun for its magnetic orientation. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Meanwhile, held in place as it was by the Sun's dominant magnetic influence, a tugging started in 2003 on the Earth's south pole. As Planet X rose from just beneath the Sun's south pole on toward the Sun's middle, a push against the Earth's north pole also started, and the wobble really picked up speed. Starting in 2004 and until the middle of 2005, I and many people from around the world documented this wobble. We did this by measuring the position of the sunrise and sunset and how high the sun was in the sky at noon. It was clear a figure eight was being formed by the north pole of Earth daily, as the magnetic north pole was either facing the sun and Planet X or hidden over the horizon. All this documentation is in the orbit section on the Zeta Talk website. By summer 2004, this wobble had manifested in hot and cold spots in the northern hemisphere, perfectly flourish. The wobble has been getting more severe, affecting the weather in what the Zetas term weather wobble. For greater distances. The reason for the increased violence was Planet X rising to the ecliptic, the Sun's middle, thus having more access to the Earth's north pole, which began getting pushed away. Not just a south pole tug, now a polar wobble with a tug and a push. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Drunken Lurch, written November 2004. The previous wobble had the lower portion of a highly magnetized Atlantic Rift grabbed twice a day, at the day and dark points when the Atlantic Rift was either facing Planet X or in opposition on the other side of the globe. The grab was essentially forcing the Earth into a magnetic alignment with the tilt of Planet X. This eased at the dusk and dawn points, when the Atlantic Rift was shifted to the side of the globe, creating a four-times-a-day wobble which had Spain and Japan seeing the sun high with warmer weather, while North America and Siberia found the sun low and their temps cooler. We now have a twice-a-day wobble, a polar wobble. The Earth is known to be rotating around geographic poles, which are offset from the magnetic poles by approximately 15 degrees, for the sake of this discussion, loosely up from the South Pole toward Tasmania, and down from the North Pole toward the center of the Canadian Northwest Territories. During the 270-degree roll that Planet X takes as it crosses the ecliptic, it swings its North Pole toward the Earth, pushing the North Pole of Earth away, causing the prophesied 3 days of darkness during this temporary end-to-end alignment. Leading into this, Planet X revolves in place, such that its North Pole no longer points almost directly at the Sun, but points away, swinging toward the Earth. But this change does not happen suddenly. It's progressive. Leading into this, when Planet X slowly swings its North Pole around in a clockwise direction, whither the Earth. The magnetic poles of Earth present themselves to the Sun once each day, at diametrically opposed times. When North America faces the Sun in Planet X, the North Pole is exposed in its location just above the Canadian Northwest Territory. The North Pole of Earth leans away from this hose of magnetic particles, causing the Sun to seem too far south. This effect lingers until the South Pole of Earth comes into view, dawn just south of Tasmania, at which point the North Pole of Earth is out of view and negated. The Earth now attempts to move back into alignment with the Sun, the dominant magnet in the solar system, overcompensating in this wobble back to place the Sun temporarily too far to the north for Siberia and Europe. The drunken lurch back and forth will become more accentuated as the slow 270-degree roll of Planet X continues, with the tilt of the Earth's North Pole steadily moving away from the Sun until the 3 days of darkness is evident. End of the quote from Zeta Tong. The third step in the 6 steps of the magnetic dance is a lean to the left, which the Zetas describe as the Earth falling to her side. This will occur as a lead-in to the 3 days of darkness in the Northern Hemisphere, as the North Pole of Earth is trying desperately to escape the stronger North Pole of Planet X, swinging toward it. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Hell Unleashed, written January 2005. The figure eight will become more extreme and vicious as the North Pole of Planet X swings into view on its eastern side, as it turns in place in a clockwise motion, the slow 270-degree roll. What will this increased intensity do to the figure eight and Earth's attempts to simultaneously honor the Sun's magnetic dictates? She will lay on her side, her magnetic North Pole pushed to the west, a predecessor to the 3 days of darkness and sunrise west, laying her hemispheres out for an equal basking under the Sun, but putting the Moon and Sun, and especially the constellations, in extreme errant positions, especially as the figure eight continues during this time. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Zetas have given no time frame for this lean to the left, which is shown in many crop circles as an extreme wobble, but leading into this, a distinct lean to the left may be evident for some time. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Dead On and Deadly, written April 2006. Earth scuttles back in her stalled orbit. Planet X is seen to the right of the Sun, and increasingly coming closer and appearing larger and unmistakably not as a solar flare or sundog, and the Earth falls to her side little by little. This makes for a lopsided arc of the Sun across the sky during the day, the Sun not where expected. During this slow 270-degree roll, Planet X is steadfastly moving closer to the Earth. It not only appears larger in the sky, it has a steadily stronger grip on the Atlantic Rift and the poles, creating a stronger and more violent wobble. This equates to stronger quakes and volcanic activity, wilder weather, and the populace starting to question matters in a shrill, not polite, manner. If this is global warming, what is that to the right of the Sun, and why is the Earth falling to her side? We predict the White House will shutter their windows and refuse questions on the matter, if they are functioning at all at that time. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. This is a matter the Zetas have been silent on, in keeping with their hope that the establishment will become discombobulated by Earth changes, and many who have participated in the cover-up will simply blurt out the truth. The Zetas want to see the cover-up break. Plus I, Nancy, personally suspect the lean to the left and details of what will happen during these days to be a secret card the Zetas and other benign aliens are holding. After the lean to the left, the Earth swings its north pole away from Planet X so violently that those in the northern hemisphere do not see the sunrise for 3 days, this followed by sunrise seeming to come from the west. This is the fourth step in the 6 days of the magnetic dance. The sun will seem to rise in the west because the globe almost stands on its head during these days, an overcompensation to having the hose of magnetic particles from Planet X pointed directly at it. The rotation of Earth remains the same, but it's upside down for those 6 days, thus sunrise west. This is well documented in folklore, and if a wobble can be upsetting, this was surely something that did not pass notice. And I quote from Velikovsky's book, Worlds in Collision. In the Talmud it is said, 7 days before the deluge, the Holy One changed the primal order and the sun rose in the west and set in the east. In the papyrus Ipuwer, it is similarly stated that the land turns round as does a potter's wheel, and earth turns upside down. And I quote from the Politicus by Plato, at certain periods the universe has its present circular motion, and at other periods it revolves in the reverse direction. There is at that time great destruction of animals in general, and only a small part of the human race survives. And from the 12th Iman, the rising of the sun from the west is one of the things which must happen. And from the Hadith, the hour will not be established until the sun rises from the west. End of the quote. The fourth step in the 6 steps in the magnetic dance include brief days during which the northern hemisphere is pushed away from the sun and the looming north pole of Planet X, giving the northern hemisphere 3 days of darkness. And I quote from Zeta Talk, 3 days of darkness, written September 2004. We have stated that a sunrise west will occur, as prophecy predicts and folklore attests, as a result of a 270-degree roll by Planet X as it crosses the ecliptic. Planet X seeks to align along the tight magnetic flow lines just under the ecliptic to the tight magnetic flow lines just above the ecliptic, which have radically different alignment dictates. Under the ecliptic, the flow lines are returning magnetic particles to the sun, but above they represent an outward-bound system which does not tolerate a north pole pointed toward it. Planet X must roll, and does this as a sideways roll, the path of least resistance. The Earth is hardly a passive observer, but participates when it finds a hose of magnetic particles pointing at it by deflecting its north pole. This is reflected in folklore as a period of darkness for northern hemisphere, a biblical prediction of 3 days of darkness. As the Earth continues to roll in sync with Planet X, keeping its north pole pointed away, the Earth is unmistakably turned upside down, again well documented in folklore. During this time, the core and crust are glued together, and the rotation of the Earth follows the rotation of the sun, as always, in direction, thus sunrise west. Following days of a sunrise west, this roll of the Earth continues its momentum until the Earth returns to a line side by side with the sun and Planet X, a comfortable position for magnets forced into proximity with each other. It is in this position that the daily grab of the Atlantic Rift begins significant slowing of the Earth's rotation. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. At this point in the magnetic dance, there can scarcely be any doubt that the end times are upon mankind. This is recorded in folklore as the time when the earth turns upside down, as when it violently swings its north pole away, it does not stop on a dime, and almost does a 180-degree turn before drifting back to where the north pole is north and south is south. This is a time when the earth is in the last weeks before the pole shift, when planet X is close enough to be seen as a writhing dragon in the sky, and when the tail is starting to drop red dust upon the earth. The Egyptian papyrus contains the words of Abitur, recorded during the time of the last pole shift, during the Jewish Exodus. Compare some passages from Abitur to the Book of Exodus. Papyrus. Plague is throughout the land. Blood is everywhere. The river is blood. Exodus. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. All the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Papyrus. Men shrink from tasting and thirst after water. Exodus. And all the Egyptians digging round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. Papyrus. Forsooth, the land turns round as does a potter's wheel. The towns are destroyed. The residence is destroyed in a minute. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. So you see from these quotes, the red dust and earthquakes were very close in time to the world turning upside down during the 3 days of darkness. Planet X, meanwhile, is rapidly completing its 270-degree roll, having turned 180 degrees in place to point its north pole at Earth. It suddenly points its north pole straight up. This is the fifth step in the six steps in the magnetic dance, the point where both the Earth and Planet X are straight up and down, side by side, and the Atlantic Rift is grabbed firmly during the Earth's daily rotation. This results in an Earth rotation slowing to a stop, a matter also recorded in folklore as a long day in Egypt and a long night on the west coast of the Americas. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Long Day Night, written February 2002. The Atlantic lava beds are gripped facing the sun, facing the approaching planet X coming up from the south along the rift, and causing both Europe, the Americas, and Africa to be on the long day side of the earth. Rotation stops with the Atlantic Rift facing the approaching planet X, which is coming nearly from under the sun. Therefore, the long day described by Joshua and the long night described by the West Coast Indians. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Part of the process in stopping rotation is the clash of rotation. Earth orbits and rotates counterclockwise, as do all the planets in the solar system and the sun. Planet X orbits and rotates clockwise in what is called a retrograde manner. Thus, every time those parts of Planet X that want to grab a part of Earth and hold it come around, Planet X tends to pull Earth to a stop rather than hurry it on its way. Like dancers twirling in different directions and bumping into each other during this twirling, the big partner will eventually stop the little one from twirling at all. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Tail Waffing, written March 2006. Planet X does so in a retrograde manner as it rotates retrograde and is in a retrograde orbit while passing the sun. As the North Pole swings round to the right, as viewed from the northern hemisphere of Earth, the tail likewise begins to appear to the right of the sun. The Earth, desperate to escape the hose of magnetic particles coming from the North Pole of Planet X, leans to the left as far as possible in the eddy full of particles it is trapped in, caught in the path of Planet X, moving steadily and inexorably toward the Earth as it leaves the sun. As Planet X comes closer to the Earth and the tail is blown more toward Earth than away, does this mean that mankind will shortly have more of the tail effects here on Earth? The Earth cannot escape this, and folklore speaks to this. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Indeed, folklore attests that during these last weeks, the effects of the tail are upon the earth, red dust, firestorms, and hail. Returning to comparing the quotes from the Egyptian Abitur and the Book of Exodus, Papyrus. Forsooth, gates, columns, and walls are consumed by fire. Exodus. The fire ran along the ground. There was hail, and fire mingled with the hail. Papyrus. Trees are destroyed. No fruit or herbs are found. Exodus. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Papyrus. Forsooth, the children of princes are dashed against the walls. Exodus. The angel of the Lord smote the Egyptians. Papyrus. The land is not light. Exodus. And there was a thick darkness in all of the land of Egypt. End of the quotes. The last step in the magnetic dance is the pole shift itself, an affair that takes place within an hour. As Planet X moves to align with the magnetic flow lines above the ecliptic, it finds it has crossed the crowded highway that the ecliptic represents. It takes off suddenly, grabbing the south pole of Earth with its north pole and tipping the Earth in space as it does so. Planet X does not run off with planet Earth, but attempts to tilt it on its head as it leaves the vicinity. Unlike the tipping upside down that happens during the 3 days of darkness, this tipping is so sudden and violent that the crust separates from the core, allowing the core to realign magnetically with the sun. The crust stays in place where it landed, and thus the new geography that will result after the pole shift. And I quote from Zetaton, Pole Shift, written July 1995. The pole shift is therefore sudden, taking place in what seems to be minutes to humans involved in the drama, but which actually takes place during the better part of an hour. There are stages between which the human spectators, in shock, are numb. At first there is a vibration of sorts, a jiggling, as the crust separates in various places from the core. Then there is a slide, where the crust is dragged over minutes to a new location, along with the core. During the slide, tidal waves move over the earth along the coastlines, as the water is not attached and can move independently. The water tends to stay where it is, the crust moving under it, essentially. When the core finds itself aligned, it churns about somewhat, settling, but the crust, more solid and in motion, proceeds on. This is in fact where mountain building and massive earthquakes occur, just as car crashes do their damage on the point of impact, when motion must stop. Weak spots along the earth's crustal plates give way. The Pacific Ocean will shorten and the Atlantic widen. Subducting plates will subduct greatly. Mountain building will occur suddenly, primarily increasing in areas already undergoing mountain building. All told, the better part of an hour, but at certain stages, only minutes. Plants survive as they are rooted and their seeds are everywhere, and animals, including man, survive because they travel with the moving plates of the earth and experience no more severe a shock when the plates stop moving than they would during a Richter 9 earthquake. Where mountain building occurs when the plates stop moving, the stoppage is not simply a sudden jolt, like a car hitting a brick wall. All is in motion, and the stoppage is more like a car hitting a barrier of sand-filled plastic barrels, a series of small jolts occurring in quick succession. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And that ends the magnetic dance between Earth and Planet X.
I'm Roger, President of Troubled Times Incorporated. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping mankind survive during troubled times when self-sufficiency may be the only answer. Our organization offers a twin set CD of survival information at cost to the public. The CDs are in hypertext and PDF format, two popular browser formats, and contain all the information collected by the massive Troubled Times website. The CDs allow you to browse this information offline at your leisure. The cost of the twin pair is $4.10, and this includes postage. You can also get the survival booklet, the hip-sized booklet of the gifts of the Troubled Times advice, for just $5, including postage. We offer a popular combo package for $7.50 that includes both the CDs and the booklet with the lower postage expense reflected in that price. Send for your copies today to start making practical plans for your and your family's survival Just click on the $4.10 CD link at www.zetatalk.com, and your copy will be on its way.
That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.